We're holding on Sadiq Vav Amad Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. Talking more about the dinim of shomrim, we know that a shoyel and a socher are potter from mesa machmas malacha. So let's talk about the parameters of what mesa machmas malacha is and what his chiyuv of pturim is. What would happen if the animal didn't die as a result of the malacha, but it became weaker as a result of the malacha? So is he chayev to pay for that depreciation in the value of the animal or not? And in fact, there are Rishonim who learn, we're talking about even where he did something biyadayim over here, that he overworked it or something. So then the question is, yeah. So So one of the Chachamim, named Rav Chilkiya Ivya, answered. So who's the Omalei? We didn't have a him before. So Omalahu, maybe. Anyway, he said to them, Miklal. So what? So the very fact that you're asking the question, you seems to be implying to seems to be implying that you want to be mechayev him when the animal died as the result of the malacha, and so you want to ask what about if the what about if it became weaker? Would he also be chayev to pay? But is that a correct premise? He says to them, Neima, why can't the shoyel say lav la ukma bekilta she'ilta? Look, I didn't borrow the animal in order to keep it in a canopy. Meaning, in other words, that I borrowed an animal to do work with it, and you gave me a defective animal, which is not going to be able to handle this kind of work. So he's certainly not chayev for mesa machmas malacha. Why should he be chayev for kochsha machmas malacha? Now, to be sure, okay, you could draw a distinction that mesa machmas malacha is a more uncommon thing. Nevertheless, though, still, Rav Chilkiya Breide Rav Ivya is pointing out that there's not really a reason to draw that distinction. Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says that's true. Needless to say, if it became weaker because of the malacha, he's potter. Ella afilo mesa machmas malacha nami potter. So indeed, even if it died because of the malacha, then he's also potter. De amale lav la ukma bekilta she'ilta, because he can say I didn't borrow it in the first place to keep it in a canopy. I expected to work with it. And you are, and it's your fault for giving me, and it's your fault for giving me a defective animal or other object that was not able to handle that kind of work. Many of the Mefoshim learn that we're dealing with over here, that specifically we know that it died because of the work itself. For example, we saw that it was getting tired or overheated or whatever, and then it ended up dying. And we're talking about it was the normal work that you were expecting to do with such an animal. We're not talking about what you did. We learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, if you were supposed to take it in the mountain road and instead you took it in the valley, or the other way around, where we said that then the difference in climate may have had bad effects on it. So he would be potter in that case. The fact is, the Mishnah never tells us explicitly that he's potter from Mesa Machmas Malacha. That point emerges from our Gemara. From our Gemara over here, and the Ramban and other Rishonim discuss. In fact, obviously a shoyel is chayev for einsin, but here we can say, in other words, here there's a certain degree of responsibility on the part of the mashil in that he gave him an animal that's not going to be able to handle this kind of work. So therefore, he would be potter in that case, because he can say, I didn't borrow it just to keep it in a canopy. I expected to work with it, and you gave me an animal that can't handle that. Well, the Gemara gives another example. Who gathered the shol? A person borrowed an axe from somebody else, itbar, and the axe broke. Also, kamei de Rava. So he came to Rava for a din Torah. Amalei zil icy sadi delav shonispei. So Rava tells him, go bring Edim that you didn't do anything different with this axe than normal. In other words, if you use the axe in the normal way, then fine. The iftar, then you will be potter. So in fact, the Ritva discusses. Does that mean that a shoyel should not be able to be should never be able to be to swear the one case where shoyel is potter aside from shmir b'baylim that we've been talking about the last couple of blocks. Other than that, the only other case he's potter, we're saying, is Meis Machnas Malacha. Does that mean that he can't swear at all, and therefore Rava is telling him to bring Edim, or is Rava first mentioning the idea of Edim, but if in fact there are no Edim, then maybe he could swear? Well, so that's what the Gemara asked. Like a Sadi, if there are no Edim, and he can't, and according to the Ritva's second possibility, that he can't swear either, my, then what does he have to pay? Does he have to pay the full value of the axe, or does he need to pay something less than that? So, in other words, because we look at it, we could look at it after all. You have the broken pieces of the axe. Those are worth something. So you could say he borrowed an axe. You could say he borrowed an axe that's worth $10. Now the pieces of it, the broken pieces of it, let's say, are worth $3, so maybe he should only be required to pay another $7. Maybe he returns the other guy the $3 worth, and he gives him another $7, and then it's the other guy's issue if he wants to go and take those broken pieces plus that $7 and use to buy another axe. So maybe not. Maybe he has to pay the full $10. Well, the Gemara says, Toshma, Dao, who gavered the shol nagra mechavre, another case where a person borrowed an axe from somebody else, the itbar, and the axe broke, and this time it was. And this time, it actually says it was Pshia, unlike the previous one where we didn't know. And Rava told him, you have to go bring Edim, or again, according to one possibility that the Ritva says, maybe if there's no Edim, then he could swear. But in any case, here you have neither. Here it was actually Pshia. Also, Kameh de Rav, so the case came to Rav, Omaleh, and Rav tells him, Zil Shalom le Nagamalia, go pay him of the full value of an axe. So first of all, talk according to Rashi. Tosfos learns differently, but Rashi learns that what he means is Rav is saying that you have to pay him. In this case, the axe was worth $10, so you have to pay him the full value of an axe, the full $10. But Rav Kahana and Rav Asi ask Rav, is that in fact the din? The same way as we learned in Bava Kama. That you have the dinim that we learn from the psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. You have various cases where one person's shur kills another, or a person's shur falls into somebody else's burrow, or whatever. And over the Torah says, "Vahames yaloi," from which we learn that the mazik gives back the nizik, the dead animal, and then adds the extra amount necessary to bring it up to the amount of the hezek or chatzi nezek, as the case may be. So we had cases in Bava Kama like that, where for example, the animal when it was alive was worth 200, dead it's worth only 20. So say, for example, we're talking a case of Nezek Shalim, the shur that killed it was a muad, we're talking about a burr. Anyway, so we say, then he gives him the nevela is 20 and he pays him another 180. So the same thing over here. Why shouldn't it be the same thing that he gives him the broken pieces of the axe, which are worth, in our scenario, $3, and then gives him another $7? The Shosik Rav, and Rav was quiet and didn't answer to that. Now, there are places in the Gemara where we have that Rav or other Amiroim are quiet, and sometimes even the Halacha is like them. Here, the Gemara says it's not so. In fact, the Halacha is like Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, he gives him back broken pieces, and then fills in the amount necessary to get back to the value of the axe. So in our case, he would give him the broken pieces plus another $7. Now that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos objects to this question that the fact is it's not even never mind even in the case of a shoyl, even in the case of a ganav or a gazlan, we also say that they can give back the depreciated thing and then pay on top of it. So in that case, what was Rav thinking in the first place that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi even need to ask him about it? So Tosfos explains at some length that what it means is that no, of course Rav knew that din, that he gives him the broken pieces and then pays the rest. The question is here where the value of the broken pieces depreciated between when the accident happened until they went to Beis Din. So now the question is in the case of a dead animal, for example, we learned in Bava Kama that in the case of a mazik, we say that the depreciation is on the nizik, meaning the fact that the value goes down between the hezek and shasa modabadin, the nizik has to bear that loss. So in our example, if the nevela was worth $20, and by the time they go to Beis Din, it's worth only 15, the mazik still only has to pay another 180. It means the nizik now is only getting 195 worth, not the mazik's problem. As opposed to the Gemara says over there, by ganav or gazlan, it's different. Then you don't do that. So now Rav would hold that by a shoyl also, you don't take into account that depreciation. So therefore, when Rav says zil shalom the nagamalia, he would say, when you broke the axe, the broken pieces would have been worth $3. By the time you're returning them, they're worth only $2. Therefore, you have to pay another $8. And now, sort of Kahana and Rav Asi are asking on him, is that really the din? Shouldn't a shoyl be different than a ganav and a gazlan? And the Gemara says, yes, the halacha is like them. So therefore, in our example, he would pay only $7. And then Tosfos goes on to say that the case could be, the discussion could be, even if there wasn't a pachas, even if it didn't go down in value, we would say another explanation. Tosfos, so the first explanation we just said is from the Rashbam. The second explanation is from the Rivam. The Rashbam and the Rivam and Rabbeinu Tam were all brothers. So the Rivam gives a different explanation and says that what we mean is that sure, he could return the broken pieces and then the extra amount on top of them. So in our example, he gives the broken pieces plus $7. But if he doesn't know that he can do that, then we don't tell him. And Rav Kahana and Rav Asi are saying that we could even tell him. We based in could tell him to do that, because the question basically boils down to, are those pieces considered in the reshus of the shoyl or of the mashil? And then Tosfos goes on to discuss various other points related to that. So to summarize so far, so Mesa Machmas Malacha is Potter, provided that he has evidence that it was Machmas Malacha, and Rishonim bring, so obviously the Gemara is saying it can't be that he was doing heavier work with it than expected. There are actually Rishonim who learn even that it means it can't even be that he was doing lighter work with it than expected, because when do we say otherwise? Because then we can say Mesa Machmas Malacha. The fact is, we can say that in effect, a reason why Mesa Machmas Malacha would be potter, even though usually is shoyl schayev for einsin, is because he would say the logic that we said before that we learned earlier in the Masechta, Malach HaMavis, Mali Hochol, Mali Hossam. What's the difference? The Malach HaMavis could have gotten the answer. Could have gotten the animal no matter what. So Shulchan Aruch brings that point that if he does even lighter work with it and the animal dies, then he's chayev, and the smear wonders why. Well, that's why, because the fact is, if he rented it for a particular malacha and then it died, then we can say malacha mavis mali hacha mali hasam. But if he did some other work with it, We don't know. The fact is, he did other malacha with it, and therefore it's possible that his pshia contributed to it. Continues the Gemara. Hahu gaver the shol davla mechavre. There's another example where a person borrowed a bucket from somebody else to water his field or to draw water or whatever, but itbar, and the bucket broke. So similarly, also the kamei de papa, the case came to the papa, omalei, so he tells him, I see sadi de la shanis bay, bring adim that you didn't do with it any different than normal, the iftar, and then you will be potter, same idea as before, does that mean he always has to bring adim and is never able to swear, or does it mean that maybe if no adim were available at the time, then maybe he would be able to swear and be potter? Another example. Hahu gavra de shol shunra mechabre. There was an example, a person borrowed a cat from somebody else. He had a lot of mice on his property, and he wanted a cat to get rid of them. What happened was, in this case, the mice ganged up on the cat and killed it. The mice ganged up on the cat and killed it. Yosef Rav Ashi become a boy lay. So now Rav Ashi is sitting and wondering, ki hai gavna mai, what would be the din in this case? Ki mesa machmas malacha dami, would we consider it mesa machmas malacha, and we just established that then he's potter, oi loy, or maybe not. What is the suffix? Tosfa says, on the face of it, it's mesa machmas malacha, classic example, isn't it? But no, the point is, he took it to a place where there are so many mice. With so many mice, maybe that's considered a shinui, and therefore you can't call it Mesa Machnas Malacha. So the Mordechai answers Rav Ashi with an analogy. Avimi mehagrunya said in the name of Rava that gavra denoshi katluhu. If a man was killed by woman, but it was killed by women, loy din of loy dayana, there was no din Torah necessary, and there's no dayan needed to judge the case. That he should have bederech hateva been able to overpower them rather than ending up being defeated by them. It's not something expectable. He wasn't pesheya. It is considered mesa machnas malacha, and therefore, so it's not considered pshia, even though there were a lot of mice there, because under normal circumstances, and you can't expect them. Idi, in fact, uses an expression over here. There's nishtanu sidri bredacious, although like something unusual in history happened that the mice ganged up and killed the cat. It's something completely out of left field. And even though there are, even though he brought it to a place where there were so many mice, it's not normal to expect that even that a lot of mice should be able to overpower a cat. And therefore, the Mordechai is saying the result is that he would be potter as Mesa Machmas Malacha.
I would say that some of the rats are real big in the subways. Rats are very big. Rats could attack a cat.
Maybe. So in this case, it was rats, you know, might be different, but here we're saying it was mice. On the other hand, Ikadami, now there's another version of how the story went. Second version is Ochel Achbri Tuva. The cat ate so many mice, the chovel omis, that it became overheated and died. The Ritva brings a different girsa, the Ichban, which means it got bloated and it died, whatever. In the first version, the mice actually ganged up on it and killed it. In the second one, it overate so much that it killed itself that way. So in the second version also, Yosef Rav Ashi become Ayin Barkahai Gavnamai. So then the question would be, what would be the din in this case? And in that second version also, Amalei Rav Mordechai, Rav Ashi, Pachi Amar, Avinim Ahagrunya, Gavra Denoshi Katluhu. In the second version, what we mean is not that he was fighting against them, and Ben Yehoyada explains, you can have, for example, imagine you have, for example, two people, one has an Eved, one has a bunch of Shvachas, and they decide to arrange a mock battle, say, between them, and in the first version, he ended up getting killed by the women, which is something completely unexpected. Similarly, over here, that was in the first version. In the second version, we're talking about where, let's say, the man was killed by women because he did too many Be'ilas. So an example of that would be that one person borrowed or rented somebody else's eved to impregnate his shvachos, and he did too much of it, and then he died from the overexertion of that. Again, loy din of loy dayano, there's no din Torah necessary, and there's no dayan who would say we have to deal with the case because in other words, it's his fault basically for overindulging like that. So the same way over here, you can say it's kind of a cat's fault for overindulging on the mice. And therefore the one who borrowed the cat, the shoyl, would in fact be potter. There is a very interesting case that the Trumas Hadeshin brings that relates to this, which all the poskim after him deal with the question. There was a case in the Trumas Hadeshin's times. There was a gang of robbers that were coming to attack the city. And people would come to fight. People would come from the city to fight against them. So a yid over there borrowed a coat of armor and weapons to help go fight the robbers. In the event this time, the people from the city ended up getting captured by the robbers. And not only did the robbers go and steal things from the city, they even stripped this guy of the armor and the horse and everything that he had borrowed. And now the question is it meis machmas malacha? So the Trumas Hadeshin explains that actually, yes, because it's a like over here in the case of the cat with the mice, he borrowed the coat of armor and all the other things in order to do this kind of job.
I guess he managed to get away
with his life. The pashtus, these robbers weren't looking to kill, just to steal. But yeah, so the Trumas Hadeshin says on the basis of our Gemara that he would be potter. That would be considered Mesa Machnas Malacha. On the other hand, So you end up now, the Mechaber mentions an idea for example, that let's say you borrow an animal to go on a certain road and you tackle go on that road, and then you get waylaid by robbers or whatever the machaber calls that mesa machmas malacha, and the Ramah disagreed, and the Ramah brings an opinion that disagrees. So now the Shach points out the Trumas Hadeshin's din would work out nicely according to the machaber. It wouldn't necessarily work out according to the Ramah, because the difference is in the case of the cat over here, yeah, you borrowed the cat to kill the mice, and it was doing its job, it was killing the mice, and then it got ganged up by the mice, or it ate too many of them, as the case may be, as opposed to in this case with the armor itself is not doing the work, it's the person who's doing the work, it's because he lost the battle that they ended up getting stolen, therefore the Shach argues, at least according to the opinion of the Ramah, he might in fact not be potter. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabba, let's get back now to the case of to the dinim of She'elah B'Bailim and finish up with some dinim involving that. Omar Rabba, Hai man deboy l'mishal midi mechavrei. If a person wants to borrow something from somebody else, the liftar, and he wants to be able to make himself potter, name alay ashkian maya. What he should do is, when he's borrowing the thing, and Rabbeinu Yohanesin gives the example, he's borrowing from an actual keli. So he tells him, for example, give me a drink of water with that keli or with another keli to have a she'elah b'bailim. Now you have ba'olav imoy, because at the same time, when we established before that it doesn't need to be ba'olav imoy at the time of the accident, only at the time of the she'elah. So if he first says, give me a drink of water, and then he borrows the keli or they do it at the same time, then it becomes she'elah b'bailim, and therefore he's going to be potter. The ipikeyahu, on the other hand, if the other guy is smart, and he realizes what the first guy is trying to do, name alay, then he'll tell him, she'il b'resha, first borrow the keli, b'hoder ashkiach, and then I'll give you the drink. Because now it won't be she'il b'bailim, because as we said before, that it has to be that the bailim are already in his employment at the time of the she'ilah, and here it would only be afterwards, and therefore it wouldn't work. So in other words, the Me'iri says the implication of our Gemara is, in other words, on the one hand, the first guy might be trying to trick and cheat the other guy. This might be an example, by the way, you have all over Shas. So the Gemara says in some places it says that you should learn Torah and do mitzvah shaloi l'shma, because matek shaloi l'shma ba l'shma. Then on the other hand, you have in some places where the Gemara says that a person learns shaloi l'shma, then it becomes a sama mavis for him. And Tosfos explains in all those places that, you know, Tosfos explains in many places there's a difference whether he's learning shaloi l'shma because he wants to be honored and be called Rebbe or whatever, versus where he's learning Lakanto in order to attack a fellow Yid. So this might be an example of that Lakanto kind of thing, where now having learned these halachas, he's going to now use it to take advantage of the other guy. So now the Me'iri. So
if you're learning to be a Talmid Chacham,
and then you use that knowledge to take advantage unfairly of another guy, then that would be Ramos. So therefore, so the Me'iri says, actually, the point of this little piece of Gemara over here is actually to tell us how to counteract that. This guy wants to be a Ramai, but you, who also learn this Gemara, you know what he's up to, and therefore you forestall him by telling him that first, let me give you the drink, first borrow the keli and take it into your Rishus, and then I'll give you the drink, and that prevents him from being able to accomplish
the Ramos. So that would be an example of Sakamun Mavis.
So that would be an example, yeah, the first guy trying to do that might be an example of Lakanter, where the Gemara says that
to try to learn in order for your ego will...
Would only be that's Mitok Shalei L'shma Bal L'shma. Okay. Omar Rabba. Then Rabba says another din.
I'm giving up on my ego.
Omar Rabba. Makri Dardagi, a Melamed who teaches the children of the Balabatim in town. Shasla, a person whose job is to plant trees and vines and things like that for the people of the city, and he becomes like an oris to them, tabcha, or shoichet for the city, umna, or a blood letter.
Mm-hmm.
It actually explains as far as the shasta, yeah, noito krumim, noteya krumim lemechta, he plants the vineyards for them and he gets half the produce. So basically like an oris, a form of an oris. So that's a shasta, yeah. Tabcha is a shoichet, umna, or a blood letter, saper mosa, or the haircut, the barber for the city. That's according to Rashi. There are other Rishonim who learn that it means that it means the sofer of the city, the one who writes shtaris for them. All of those kulan v'idan avidatayu. All of them, when it's during the time when they're working. So now, if you borrow something from them during the time when they're working, kishayla b'baylim damu is the equivalent of shayla b'baylim, because they're working on behalf of you as a resident of the city. So therefore, that would be an example of all of you. Rashi explains, in other words, it means while they're doing their work, somebody borrows from them. So, for example, to take the first example, the Makwidaudiki, while he's sitting and learning with the kids, then somebody comes over and borrows something from him. So that would be an example of She'ela B'Bayit. And then the Rambam writes similarly. The Raiva disagrees and says even when they're not actually doing the Malacha actively right now, nevertheless, since they're on duty basically at all times to do that, then therefore they can be considered She'ela B'Bayit even when right now they're not teaching the kids or planting the vineyards or whatever else it is they're doing. The Gemara continues. The Chachamim say to Rava, here's another example of She'ela B'Bayit, Sho'il Lon Mar. You, Rebbe, are borrowed to us in the sense that you're teaching us Torah. And therefore, if we were to borrow something from you, then we would be potter because of She'ela B'Bayit. So the Kosei Yeshuas actually says, now why are they saying that? Are they trying to say that we can take advantage of you, Rava? So Kosei Yeshuas explains that what they're saying is they want to show their gratitude to Rava. That look, you know, a shoyol, we've learned a number of times, kol hanah shaloi, the shoyol gets all the benefit. So they're saying to Rava, look at the tremendous favor you're doing us, that we're considered like shoyolim, and we have all the benefit. We're not even having to pay you for your time or anything. And therefore, so you're doing us a great favor. But still, the way that they're phrasing it makes it sound like they're going to be potter from paying him if they borrow something from him. So Rava was machbid on that, was upset with them expressing themselves on that. Omalahui says, what are you trying to take away my money from me? That you think you can borrow something from me and you're going to be able to get away with it on the grounds of She'ela B'Bayit? On the contrary, he says, Adraba atun she'iltun li. On the contrary, you can argue that you are borrowed to me in the sense the ilu ana motzi ishtemuti lachumi masechta l'masechta. I could at any time tell you, let's set aside this masechta and we'll learn a different one. I control the curriculum here in the yeshiva. And therefore, so if I decide to begin a new masechta, for example, Rashi says, let's say that shaloi tishochach mimeni. So let's say, for example, Rava says one morning, you know what? I realize I haven't learned this masechta in one time. I'm in danger of forgetting it. So let me tell the yeshiva light that we're going to start learning that masechta. So I'm doing it really more for my benefit. And obviously, it benefits them as well because they're learning Torah. But nevertheless, I would be able to do that. But you are not able to do that. You can't say, you don't control the curriculum. You can't say that we should start a different masechta because, for example, you want to learn that now. So therefore, in that sense, it's more that you're borrowed to me in the sense that I have your services, says Rava, and not the other way around. Now, the Gemara says, Velohi, actually neither of them has a fully valid argument. It really depends. Ihu shor lohu b'yoyme dekala. Rava is considered to be borrowed by the Talmudim during the times of Kala. When it comes during the time, Rashi explains, before the Yom Tovim, when the Rav is darshaning in Hilchus HaRegel, so then he can't go from that to learn something else instead. He can't say it's 30 days before Pesach, but I decided that we should instead learn Masechta, that we should instead learn Bava Metzia. He can't do that. So therefore, during that period, then he would be considered to be the Bailim who are working for the other party. Different explanation of Kala is the two times during the year, particularly Elul and Adar or Nisan and Tishrei, when everybody would gather together. All of the like this, you had the Talmidim, the full time Talmidim in the Beis Medrash, the ones who were supported by their parents, or the ones who had independent wealth of their own or whatever. And then you'd have the Talmidim who are working throughout the year, and then they would. They would come there only during the months before or during the Yom Tovim, Elul and Adar, the Rashbam explains in Bava Basra, to learn. So then that would be another meaning of Yom Tikala. During that time, it's a fixed thing. The Rosh Hashiva, based on Shuvas from the Goinim, the Goin, the Rosh Hashiva had announced months before, we're going to be learning such and such a Masechta, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to change that now. So it would be considered that he's borrowed to them. But meanwhile, the rest of the time, then it would be considered their services are borrowed to him in the sense that Rava said, because at any time he could say that we should start a different Masechta instead. Okay. Another example, the Gemara says, Merema Bachanina Uyga Kudni Yosa Bechozoi. Merema Bachanina went and rented some donkeys in Bechozoi. It's a place that's nowadays it's part of Iran. It's mentioned in many places in Shas. It was a considerable distance from the main area of Jewish settlement in Babel. Anyway, Nofik Ladaluya Tuna Bahadayu. Now he went along with the animal to help them load up the animal. Later on, they were pesheya with the animal, the umis, and it died. Also, the kamei de Rava, so they came to a din torah of chayvinu, and Rava said they're chayav to pay. Omru le rabbanon le Rava, but the talmidim asked Rava, pshia b'baylim, isn't this an example of pshia b'baylim? And we had before a machloikas, Ravina and Rav Acha, whether he's chayav or potter, and the halacha is like, we said that usually Ravina is the one who's mekel in machlokas and between him and Rav Acha, and the halacha is always in those machlokas and kedivra mekel. So therefore, over here, it was pshia b'baylim because yes, they were pshia, but at the time of the she'ela, Meremer had gone along to assist them. That makes it she'ela b'baylim on the face of it, and therefore they should be potter, even though they were pshia. Ichzi. So Rava was embarrassed that he had forgotten that point. Eventually, it turned out he hadn't actually gone to help them load up the animal. He had only gone along to supervise to make sure that they don't overload it when they're doing that. So in that case, he's not actually working for them. So in that case, Rava's psak was correct because it wasn't she'ela b'baylim. Yes, he was present, but we established before. It doesn't matter whether he's present. It depends whether he's doing work on their behalf. And here it was not. We talked about before something particularly from Reb Tzadik HaKoyin Milublin, that we find this kind of thing particularly by Rava, because he has the koyach of Shevet Yehuda, that he has special siyat d'shmaya from Hashem, la'asuki shmaita, liber d'hilchsa, to come up with the correct conclusion, al pi halacha, and therefore you have a number of examples in Shas. We had an earlier one in Amasechta on Daf Pe'alef, where Rava gives up. We had another example with her papa over there as well, where they give a psak din, and on the face of it, it seems to be wrong, but then it turns out that a key factor in the case was different than they thought, and therefore the psak ends up being correct after all. So the Gemara asks, "Hanichlamanda om a pshia b'baylim potter." Well, we did say there before that it was machlokas Ravina and Rav Acha whether in fact he's potter. So if you say that, if you say like Ravina, that pshia b'baylim potter, mishum hachi ichsif, and that explains why Rava was embarrassed, because if it really was that Meremer had gone there to help them load the animal rather than just to supervise, then indeed they would have been potter on the grounds of she'ela b'baylim, and therefore, so why didn't Rava realize that? But according to Rav Acha, who says that you chayev for pshia b'baylim, he says that she'ela b'baylim, he says that ba'olav imay only patters you from the other chiyuvim, oines for a shoyl, gneva v'aveda for a shem asachar, but not for a shem achinam, because as we discussed a couple of blocks ago, according to him, when the pasuk says v'chi yishal ish, it only refers back to the shem asachar, not all the way back to the shem achinam. So according to that, my ichsef, according to Rav Acha, why was Rava embarrassed in the first place? He was correct. They were pesheya, and therefore they should be chayim. What's the difference whether Merema was there to help them or only to supervise? So the Gemara says, according to Rav Acha, the story happened differently. Loy mifsha poshuba, they weren't pesheya with it. The animal didn't die as a result of their pshia. Ela ignuvi ignu, rather it was stolen. Or mesa kedarka beganapavi, and then it died. It died kedarka while it was in the house of the ganap. So now it's not anymore. So now it's not anymore mesa machnas malacha. Now it's a regular case of gneva. And Rashi refers to, we learned previously in Hamafkid, that we had a machlokas Abaya and Rav over there. If the shomer was pesheya with the animal and it went out to a meadow and then it died over there, as he chayev or potter, where we said one way of looking at it is he's potter because malach hamavas mali hocha mali hosam. But the Gemara pointed out over there, if it was stolen then and it died in the house of the ganav, then everybody would agree he's chayev, because even if you can say malach hamavas mali hocha mali hosam, the fact is it's still in the house of the ganav and it's still lost to the original owner unless he manages to get it back from the ganav. So one way or the other, so in this case, the guy is a shoyl. In this case, okay, these guys are socher, they have the dinim of a shomer socher, but fine, a shomer socher, we're saying is like a socher, and he's chayev for gnev of aved. Tosfos elsewhere, by the way, brings a proof that this is a proof that the halacha is like the opinion that shomer socher is indeed like a shomer socher. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about over here anyway. He'd be potter for gnev of aved. Anyway, so according to this version, again, it died on its own in the house of the Gan. But also of Havi, but also of Kameh the Rava, so they came to Rava, and Rava was Machayev them to pay. So now in this second version, again, the Chachamim said to isn't this an example of stealing, but the owner was present, and therefore, so again, that would be an example where Socher is Potter, because Ba'olavimoy, Ichzip, and Rava was embarrassed, the Sefer Glai Milsa, the Lamesa to Unahu Denafik, and it turned out that he had gone only to supervise the loading and not to actually help them with the loading. Tosfos actually points out, who cares whether it died in the house of the Ganav? As soon as it was stolen, we should talk about whether he's Chayev or Potter or not. As a Socher, he would be Chayev for stealing, and Potter if it was She'el of a Bible. So Tosfos says the very fact that it died, therefore people were under the impression that it died as a result of his pshia, and now it turns out that actually it wasn't. It died because malachamavas malihocha malihosam, but nevertheless it was actually in the house of the Ganav. The Maharam teaches out further. He says that's the point. In other words, when they knew the animal had died. They thought it meant it died in the house of the socher. They didn't hear anything that there was a ganav involved. So therefore, when Rava is machayev him to pay, they say, you know what? We know the animal died. Reconstructing the scenario, it must have been Bepshia, because otherwise Mesa Kadarka, then he would be potter from Oinsin, and dying is considered an Oinus. So again, they didn't realize there's a Ganav involved over here. Then that in turn, wouldn't that mean that you're being Machayev him on the grounds of Pshia, but isn't Pshia Babai, but fine, according to Rab Acha, it's not a matter of Pshia Babaylam Potter. But they're saying that in the first version they thought that there was Pshia Babaylim, and in the second version they thought that it was Gnev Babaylim. In the second version, in other words, they did find out in the end that there was a Ganav involved, and therefore they thought that because of that he should be Potter on the grounds of She'el of Babaylim, of Skuris Babaylim, and the answer was it was not Babaylim in the end, because he hadn't got along to actually help them with the loading. Fine. So those are the dinim of She'el of Babaylim. So now let's go on to more general cases of Shomrim involving various cases where you're going to have Tainus Bori and Tainus Shema. A person borrows a cow, he borrowed it for half a day and rented it for the other half. Or he borrowed it for today and rented it for tomorrow. Or he borrowed one cow, he rented one cow and borrowed another one. So in all those cases, Tosfos points out each one is a chiddush over the other one. Where it's a half a day and a half a pay and a half a day, you could say it's a real suffix. It was all on one day, so therefore it can really be considered a major suffix which half of the day it happened, and it's not always so obvious. Then we're saying even if it was today and tomorrow, you would say maybe it's less of an uncertainty. Maybe you should be mechayev him. So now the Mishnah is going to go on to say that there are cases where we say yachloiku, and then there are cases where we're going to be requiring him to pay. So maybe we would say when it was one day versus the other, it's much more of a suffix. Neither one could really know. So therefore, or much 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 less of a suffix actually. Because it's more obvious whether it happened today or tomorrow, and even where it was two different cows, then also there are the cases where yachloiku, because we're going to say that neither one has a strong claim. Both of them have equally shema claims, and therefore we divide it. So each one has a chiddush over the previous one, that even in that case, we're still saying there are going to be cases where yachloik. So in all these cases, Hamashal Omer Sha'ula Mesa. So the Mashal, the owner of the animals, for example, is saying that you borrowed one and you rented the other one. So he's saying Sha'ula Mesa, the one that you borrowed is the one that died, and therefore you're chayev for it because of a shoyo, you're chayev in onsin. Or b'yom shahosa sha'ula mesa, or it died on the day that you had borrowed it. Again, on the day or the half a day when you borrowed it is during the time when it died, and therefore as a shoyo you're going to be chayim. Or b'yom shahosa sha'ula mesa, b'shah shahosa sha'ula mesa, or it was during the time of day when it was sha'ula. V'allah omer in yedea, the shoyo says I don't know. Chayev, then in all those cases, he's chayev to pay because you have bori versus shema. And since the mashal is claiming bori and the shoyel is claiming shema, then chayev, then he would be chayev to pay. Now Tosfos discusses at some length over here that Tosfos discusses, in other words, that there can be cases where he would be chayev to swear on the grounds of Gilgul Shavua. We could have, for example, that Tosfos explains like this. You could have like this. As a soicher, he would be able to swear that Mesa Kedarka, and then we could include in it by Gilgul Shavua when it happened. But Tosfos says, let's say you could have a case where the mafkid trusts the shomer. He says, as far as the fact that you died kedarka rather than you were pesheya, I'm not requiring you to swear. I trust you at that. And therefore you don't have to swear. So now there's no Gilgul Shavua involved. So now we can talk about he'd be chayev to pay because he says, I don't know whether it happened when I was a shoyel or a soicher. So that's one possibility. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss another possibility Tosfos' second explanation is that we would only do Gilgul Shavua only when we have a Tainas Vadai, whereas further on in the Mishnah we have cases where it's a Tainas Shem. So you have different cases over here when he might be chayev to swear. What was it Tosfos said? In other words, where do we learn the concept of Gilgul Shavua? It's from a Soita, and there's also a suffix, because after all, we don't know whether she became Tomei, but after all, because the Ikur Shavua over there is a suffix, therefore you can also be Megalgul Misuffix as well. But here we're talking about, basically, when you may be swearing somebody by a Shavua, is only when you, the Teveya, only when you, the claimant, have a Tainus body. You can't make somebody swear because you have a Tainus Shema. So you can't be Megalgul, Tosfos says, unless you have a Vadai argument that you're doing about it. But again, Tosfos says also that you have in these cases where the Nitba to begin with is saying Shema, then again it's not similar to a Soita, because a Soita is Vadai. She's saying I'm Vadai, not Tomei. So therefore, and then we have Gilgul Shavua, whereas over here it's Shema. And again, we could also be talking about where there's no Gilgul Shavua over here, because he says to begin with, I trust you that the animal died Kedarka, and the only question is whether it was when you were the Soicher or whether you were the Shoyel. So in those cases, we're saying he would be chayev to say that he would be chayev to pay because Bori Vashema Bori Odi. So what about the other way around? The soicher says that among the two animals, the one that was rented is the one that died, and therefore I should be potter because I'm potter from Onsin. It died on the day that it was rented, and again, therefore I'm potter. Or it was during the time of day when it was rented. And here the other way around, the mashal says, I don't know. So then Potter, he'd be Potter from paying, and maybe according to the possibilities in Tosfos, maybe even Potter from swearing. Now, Tosfos points out, it's true that usually by Shavuot HaShomrim, you always have a tiny suffix. Look, whenever you're making the Shomer swear, is always based on, I don't know if it was onus or if it was something less than that. For example, by Shomer Sacher, you're saying Nignav.
In the first case,
if the mashal says bori and the shoyel says shem, the mashal says I am certain that this animal died during the time, or it was the particular animal that was borrowed. You were a shoyel when it died, or with the particular animal that died, and therefore you're chayev. And this
funny that he's not for sure. blending there.
Well, he might have been there. Remember, he doesn't have to be there. He doesn't have to be there at the time of the she'ela. If he wasn't there at the time of the she'ela, then it's not she'ela mabaylim. So yeah, you could have a scenario where he knows. Yeah. Anyway, so in the first case of the Mishnah, again, the shomer is chayev to pay because bori v'shema, he can't swear on a tainas, he can't swear on his own tainas shema. How could he swear when he's saying himself? I don't know, and therefore he winds up having to pay. In the second case, we're saying he's potter because they were the other way around. The shoyl is claiming bori, and the mashil is claiming shema. Now, this is where Tosfos points out, usually, whenever you have a case where you're making a shomer swear, is always you the mafkid, don't know what exactly happened, and you're saying that I want to make you swear, misafik. But the difference is that we don't even know. In other words, the question is not whether it died. The question is not the question is not was it an oinus? Was it gnev of aveda? Was it pshio? Whatever. Here, the question is: was he even a shoyel at the time, or was he a seicher at the time? And therefore, we can't swear with him when he himself doesn't know. Another case continues the Mishnah. So again, when you have bori v'shema, bori odif, and therefore, in the first case, when the mashil is the one who has the bori claim, and the other one has only the shema, then he can't swear, then he has to pay. In the second case, on the contrary, he's potter because he has the bori claim. If both of them are making a tainas bori. If both of them are making a tainus bori, and each one, and then one, the one says it was sh'ula, and the other one says s'chura, then the seicher swears that it was the one that was rented, or the time that was rented, or whatever, that died, and therefore he would be potter from paying. And we're going to discuss later on in the Gemara what exactly is the nature of that shura. That's the thing. The Gemara explains later on the face of it, Mashatone lo hodoloi, it's like a case of Tone Chitim behodoloi besodim. He's saying the one that you rented, for example, in the case of two animals, the one that you rented is the one that died, and the other one is saying no, it was the one that was the mashal is saying the one that you borrowed died, therefore you chayev. The soicher is saying the one that I rented died. What was that? Like Tani Chitim, Behold Lo Besodim. So later on Tzedek Chesam and Beis, we're going to deal with that point and figure out why he should be chayev. Why you should be chayev Ashur in that case. Anyway, the fourth case is Ze'eme Eni Yadeh. Ze'eme Eni Yadeh. If each one is saying I don't know, Yachloiku, then we divide the money, because our Tana holds like Sumchos that moment on multiple Sopik Chokin that because there's a suffix and neither one has a stronger claim than the other, then we're going to divide. So the Gemara asks, Shamit Mina. Now, in the case of our Mishnah, from the first din of our Mishnah, you have again the mashal is claiming, the mashal or master, the owner of the animal, is claiming body. I am certain that the accident happened with the one that you borrowed, or at the time when you borrowed it, or whatever, and the other one is claiming shema. Now, shamat mina, does that mean you can learn from our Mishnah, the din, that if one person is claiming mona li biyodcha, you owe me a mona, v'halo oima eni yadea, and the other one says, I don't know if I owe it to you, chayev, then he's chayev to pay. It seems from our Mishnah that yes, because he's saying a Shema claim. Well, the problem with that is lema tevet yuv to Rav Nachman. Does that mean that our Mishnah then would shlug up Rav Nachman de Itmar, where we have exactly that discussion? Mona li biyoncha. If Reuven says you owe me a mona, v'hallo owe me any yadeya, and Shimon says I don't know whether I do, Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda ami chayev. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say he's going to be chayev to pay because bori v'shema bori odif. Tosfos discusses over here, it has to be a bori toiv v'shema garua. So over here it's a bori toiv. He's saying for sure you owe me 100, and the other one is saying shema garua, I really don't know. So, in other words, the point is, Tosfos makes a point like this. Why it's considered a bori toiv in the sense he knows perfectly well that if the other guy doesn't owe him the 100, he can easily tell him, you're a liar, or I already paid you back, or whatever. So to begin with, when he comes with that claim, he knows that he could be refuted. And nevertheless, he makes the claim, not concerned about that, shows, therefore, that he's very certain of the fact that he's owed that money. Meanwhile, the other guy comes back with a shema, which is very weak. As opposed to, Tosfos points out, you know, we had an example in Bava Kamma, for example, that you have Shosha Noga Chazapora, and you find the baby next to it, and we're not sure whether the baby was miscarried as a result of the attack, or whether the baby was born and stillborn before the attack. So then we have other dinim over there. The difference is that the body is weak in the first place, because the difference is, for example, there the Nizik is trying to claim Tainas Bori, because he's saying that I believe that your animal killed my baby animal, but the fact is that the owner of the shur wasn't there, he knows, and therefore he's not going to be able to contradict him, as opposed to when you say Mona Libi Yodcha, where obviously the guy was there at the time and you know whether he owes you the money or not. So that would be an example of a bori gorua and a shema toiv, because he has very good reason to say that I don't know because I wasn't there. So, but here we're talking about bori. Here we're talking about bori toiv, a strong bori, and a shema gorua. And Rav Nach and Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda therefore say that he would be chayev. Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan ami potter. And Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan say that he would be potter. In fact, the question could have been asked on Rav Yechanan as well. Why is the Gemara only mentioning that it should be a contradiction on Rav Nachman? So Tosfos elsewhere explains that maybe in fact it should say over here Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yechanan, but then there's an explanation that actually when we say that a person that at the end of Bava Kamma there was a Gemara that said that if a person says any yadeya, he may be potter from paying in some cases, but chayev lotzis yidei shamayim. So over here though so over here we're talking about when he says chayev, doesn't any actually has to pay me ikra did. But only Lotzis Yidei Shemayim. Rav Nachman never said such a concept. Therefore, the Gemara can be asking specifically on him. Anyway, so the question is: so Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan are saying that he's potter because Uki Mamoina Bacheskas Mori, because he has a chazaka on the money, and without it, therefore, just because the other guy has a tainus body, but he has a tainus shema in return, Zamotzi Mechavel or Raya, you would have to prove that my tainus shema is invalid. So now our Mishnah seems to contradict Rav Nachman and maybe Rav Yechanan as well. So the answer is no. Rav Nachman says in a different Gemara that you have a case where there is already a shvua between them. In other words, we're not talking about Gilgul shvua over here. We're talking about that he's mechuyav shvua ve'eni yochol lishova. He's required to swear, but he's not able to swear, and therefore b'toch she'eni yochol lishova mashalim. The same way over here, we'd be talking about where there's already an issue of a shvua between them. There's already an issue of a shvua between them. So now we're talking about again. He has to swear, and nevertheless, and he's not able to, and therefore, and the Gemara will go on to explain what exactly that scenario is. Tosfos points out a couple of things in this regard. First of all, is that when we say, even when Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan are saying he's potter, doesn't necessarily mean completely potter. Rashi brings at the end of Bava Kamma that it means that before Shavuos Heses, once there's a Shavuos Heses, he'd still have to swear that he doesn't know. So therefore, in the end, he would have to swear, but he would be swearing the very fact that he doesn't know. And then Tosfos also goes on to point out when we say Kugan Shiyesh Esek Shvur Benehem. But so that explains the first part of our Mishnah. Therefore, since he can't swear, he's chayav to pay. As far as the second case in our Mishnah, the other way around, where the shoyl / soicher is claiming body, I'm certain that this happened in the time of the Sfiros, and the other one says any yadeya, then we're saying he's potter from a shvua, because since the other guy is making only a tainus suffix, he's not able to beswear him on that. To beswear him, as we said before, only by a sota do we say that you can beswear on a tainus suffix. Normally you can't. Normally you need tainus bori, and therefore he's not able. And therefore, in the middle case, even though yesh esek shvua b'neihem, even though on the face of it there's going to be a case of shvua involved, nevertheless he can't beswear him when he himself is saying to begin with that I think that it was only when during the time when you were the shoyl. So we'll continue with this point tomorrow, Bas Hashem, and work out what exactly is this case of Esek Shavua and why we're saying that he's Mefuyev Shavua Ve'ini Yochal Dishalach.